May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 938. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? 938.
Thank you. sacred and holy word of God, we shall read together from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand for ever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? For being his counsellor, hath taught him. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh out the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be stone. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will he liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May God bless his holy and sacred word to us and teach us to pray. Most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, thou who fillest time and eternity with thine unseen yet real presence, thou before whom we stand and are accountable, answerable to, thou who art that righteous judge of whom we've been singing, thou that one to whom our souls must return in the day when our natural life ends, that one who has in his hand our eternal destiny, heaven or hell. Oh, we humble ourselves before thee this Sabbath morning and pray that amidst all thy vast concerns thou wilt look down on this gathered company in thy name and grant that we may know that thou hast thine eye upon us for good, and thine ear is open to our cry, and that thou hast a divine purpose to reveal thyself to us in thy holy word this day, in such a way that it will be a permanent engraving on our heart, have a permanent fruit in our life, that men may take knowledge of us when we go forth from this Sabbath day into the world again, that we've been with Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, do draw near by thy Holy Spirit this Sabbath morning and go with us. For without thee we can do nothing. Without thee nothing will be done. Lord, our worship will be but vain. But oh, descend, most gracious Spirit, as sent by the Father and the Son, into our poor, unworthy hearts. Lord, there are a wilderness without thee. There are a desert without thee. There are worse than that. Lord, there are a pit of corruption without thee. But when thou dost come, oh, in that new nature, that new heart, that new spirit, that new life, then thou dost create real worship, living faith, living repentance, a living hope, a living love. And then, O Lord, there is communion and fellowship with thee. And that is what we desire this day. Nothing less will do, Lord. We're thankful to see our dear friends again, but that is not enough. It's thee. We would see Jesus. Oh, may we behold thee, Lord Jesus, through the lattice of thy word and thy gospel this day. And oh, do cast a loving, pardoning, inviting, drawing look upon us, that we may be drawn to thy dear feet like Mary was, sit there in quiet contentment, a gracious submission and receive of thy words, as thy servant James exhorts. Receive the engrafted word with meekness, which is able to save our souls. We come as sinners. Lord, if there were no room for sinners, then both the pulpit and the pews would be empty, the doors would be shut. But blessed be God, this house of prayer was built by our forefathers for this very purpose, that sinners might hear the gospel preached therein. And we thank you that the doors are yet open. There are still a willing people coming to hear what God the Lord will speak. But Lord, may we never forget we come as sinners. Sinners who are worthy of eternal misery. Sinners who have no claim upon thee in and of ourselves. Sinners who are totally dependent upon thy free grace to such as sinners be. But if free grace, Lord, why not for me? Oh, that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ might cleanse our unworthy, polluted hearts this day. Oh, that his perfect obedience may cover us. Oh, that his dear spirit may invigorate us, indite real religion within us. Oh, Lord, do make it a true Sabbath day, a true Lord's day in our hearts. Then we will be thankful for the day and for the privilege of coming before thee as we do this Sabbath morning. But do pardon our sins, do cast them behind thy back, do roll away the stone, Lord, we beg. And we do pray thy blessing upon thy holy word we have been reading, thy worthy praises that we sing, the meditation of our heart. Oh, take our heart in hand, Lord, our thoughts, our minds. Lord, we know what our hearts and minds are left to themselves. Oh, we tremble at that. Oh, take our heart, Lord, take our mind, take our very thoughts in thy dear hands, and do thou lay, blessed be God, do thou have complete control as the master within and the one to whom we would be serving and following. So do bless us and bless this church and congregation thou hast planted here, sustained here, maintained here. Do bless the deacons and grant them wisdom as they handle many matters concerning the honour and glory of God within these walls. Attend to every matter that lays on the heart of the church and the congregation. And do bless any absent ones this Sabbath morning who would be here, if they could. And we do pray thy rich blessing upon each who have turned in from whatever quarter. May they know this indeed to be an ordained place for them, as Bethel was for Jacob. Lord, it was a surprise to him. He did not expect to meet the Lord at Bethel, but the Lord determined to meet him. And it may, Lord, be, Lord, there's one who's come into the house of God quite careless and quite indifferent as to whether they meet thee or not. But, oh, this is thine appointed hour, Lord, then what a day it will be. It'll be a Damascus road, it'll be a sycamore tree, as it was to Zacchaeus. Oh, may it be so, Lord. Make this a Bethel to some sinner this Sabbath morning. They may say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Bless the dear children, the babes, the young people. We thank thee for them. Lord, the kindness and goodness of God to add to this congregation in that way. Bless the little ones, we pray, and especially one who's been spared a serious illness, be brought from it, Lord. We thank thee for thy restoring, recovering mercies to her. Go on to be gracious. Lord, how we recognize how frail we are. Lord, we carry on day by day, expecting our strength to be the same. And yet, Lord, thou dost lay thy hand upon us, and we realize that without thee, even natural strength, we cannot maintain it. But yet, Lord, what did we read? To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That little one, Lord, who came to that place with no might, we thank thee, Lord, thou hast increased strength. How good, how kind thou art. And is there one spiritually here this morning feeling to be without strength? and want an increase. Oh Lord, they've come to rock bottom, and sometimes we get there. But that's when thou art, Lord, that art an omnipotent, uttermost Saviour. And we pray thou would be so, even this day. As those who bear the burdens of life in family, business, church, daily life, many burdens, increasing cares, sharp thorns, weighty matters, perplexities, unresolved matters. Lord, there are many things that lay with weight upon thy dear people in so many different ways, but thou knowest. Lord, Jeremiah's confession is ours and is our anchor. O Lord, thou knowest. Then may we leave it at the feet of him who is perfect in knowledge. May Job's promise be ours. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Bless our dear aged friend and those of us coming into the evening time of life, and how quickly life has slipped away, Lord, and we begin to realise that we're much nearer eternity than we've ever been before. And we do pray that the latter days of thy dear saints may be their best days. Days in which thy rich mercy is increasingly felt, and a sweet assurance that it will be well when life's journey draws to its inevitable close. But any unconcerned, O Lord, in thy mercy, young or old, quicken the dead, strengthen the weak, guide the perplexed, undertake for the oppressed, let go thy captives, set the solitary in families, bring out those who are bound with chains. And do remember one, Lord, who may have come into the house of God with a peculiar burden, so strange they dare not speak of it to another soul. It's between them and thee. Lord, may that burden be lifted this day by some word from thy dear lips, whichever means thou seest fit. They may know thou shalt not be forgotten of me, O Israel. Remember our own cause and our dear servant labouring there today, and be with him, Lord, and strengthen him among the people. And may they be thankful for the ministry thou dost provide there, and indeed with all thy dear labouring servants at home and abroad. Graciously work, graciously use, and do raise up even with this people an under-shepherd, a pastor, after thine own heart. Lord, that is the great qualification needed. A man after thine own heart, of thine own appointing. A man that thou hast ordained, prepared for such a work. Lord, thou knowest who that man may be, where he is. Lord, guide them aright, that they may know thy will in such an important matter as that. And now remember our beloved land. Lord, where can we begin to pray for this nation? Our parliament in total confusion, our government not much better. Lord, it is a solemn, awesome day. Thou hast left this nation justly to its own counsels, and we see the solemn results of it. But our Lord, thou art over it all. Thy throne is unmoved, thy purposes are unshaken, and thy counsels will stand. And we do pray thou wilt hear the cries of thy dear people on these islands, who long for a re-establishment of our Protestant heritage, our civil, our religious liberties, and for the gospel once more to be the word of God to many within these lands. Lord, it is a great request we have, but do appear. Arise for our help, we pray. Now we thank thee for thy many mercies. Thank thee for journeying mercies this Sabbath morning. Lord, no small thing that, whether our journey were long or short, but in the greater journey of life, Lord, oh, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. Hold up my goings and thy paths, and my footsteps slip not. Oh, draw us, Lord, we will run after thee. Make us right, keep us right. And may we be right, not only at last, but right now. Oh, we beg, help one now to speak and others to hear. We beg it all for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Hymn 804.
Seeking the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention, now direct your thoughts this Sabbath morning to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. Many years ago, in one of our northern chapels, a godly minister whom I knew well and loved well, a pastor, and he spent all Saturday seeking a word from the Lord for his people. There were many things he saw in his church he wished were different, and he had it in his mind to bring a very severe word to them the next day to try and make matters straight that were crooked. He went to bed that night with a full intention that that would be his subject. When he woke in the morning, these words dropped so powerfully, comfort ye my people. And he realized that if he applied the rod in his own strength, nothing would be done. And when all is said and done in the end, though the rod is needed, reproof is part of the way of life. But in the end, dear friend, it's the gospel, applied by the Holy Spirit, that makes the crooked straight and the rough plain. Well, may the Lord use the gospel this Sabbath morning to preacher and hearer alike to make the crooked straight and the rough plain. Well, now the prophet Isaiah had two times of special commission. The first one we read in Isaiah chapter 6, where he had that amazing vision of the thrice holy God in the temple. And the poor man's religion was burnt up in that sight, and he felt to be nothing but a poor, wretched sinner. His lips were defiled, his whole life was defiled. And everywhere he looked around him, he saw no comfort in any other. He was a sinner among sinners. And he says, woe is me, I am undone. But then, blessed be God, the Lord had an answer. And one of the seraphims was sent with a live coal from off the altar, where the sacrifice had been made, where the blood had been shed, where God had shown he was pleased ceremonially with the sacrifice. And it touched the lips of God's servant with a divine commission. Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is purged away. And then he was given a very solemn commission. And the first 39 chapters, for the most part, in the prophecy of Isaiah, were reproof, rebuke, pulling down, laying waste, showing Jerusalem and Israel and Judah their sins. There are some notable exceptions in the early part of Isaiah, but for the most part, the tendency was that it should be reproof and rebuke with the oncoming captivity nearer and nearer. In fact, the commission he had in chapter 6 is very discouraging in one way, for he was commissioned to say this, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. May the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. And he said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the city be wasted without inhabitant, and the house without men, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. That was his commission. What a solemn commission it was. And yet, in the midst of that dark, dark scene, and friend, of the darkest scene the church has ever known, there's always a ray of hope, listen, but yet in it shall be a tenth. In other words, the Lord would still have a people, and his work would still be going on. In the darkest times in the lives of God's dear people, when they feel nothing less than a wilderness and a desert and a barren place, even then, that work that was begun by the Holy Spirit is still maintained and still retained, although they may feel to be under the judgments of God, under his frown, under the rod, which is necessary for a season. But then in our verse this morning, the Lord gives Isaiah another commission. And this time it's not reproof and rebuke, though that was very necessary. Now it is, comfort ye, the same people, my people. You sung in your opening hymn about a desire to be among God's people. Who are God's people? Is it a family matter? Is it a denominational matter? Is it a matter of intelligence or religion? None of that. Who are God's people? These are God's people. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And every born again sinner in Swavesey Chapel this morning is one of God's children. What a mercy if there are some. There are some I know. How many God alone knows. But I say it kindly. Neither you nor I have a right to assume we're God's children, unless we've been born again by the Spirit. Nicodemus was a very religious man, even teaching others, apparently, in the way of religion. But he hadn't yet learned the first step of it. Marvel not, Nicodemus, that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You need a new heart. You need a new spirit. You need something you were not born with. Something your parents couldn't give you. Something even the most godly environment you were brought up in cannot give you. Nothing short of the Holy Ghost, the third person of the glorious Trinity coming into your heart, as you sung just now, his Spirit will cherish that life he first gave. You never shall perish while Jesus can save. I do think the hymn writer made a mistake using the word if. If Jesus can save. It's not an if, dear friends. It's a certainty. Able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. That's comfort, isn't it? Well, this was Isaiah's commission to preach. Yes, preach to sinners. He was not to neglect the warnings. He was not to forget to reprove the unconverted, to point out the solemn state they were in. And that's a part of the commission of any of God's servants. But in this particular case, he is to speak of comfort. Who to? God's people. I've often thought of the parable of the prodigal son. While he was with the harlots, wasting his sums with riotous living, there was no way in which the father would rush out and comfort him. He was still wrapped up in the world, self-satisfied. But when he began to be in want, when he began to return home with faltering steps, repentant, broken-hearted with the way he had behaved and treated his father and slammed the door on his religion years before, then he went out with the kiss. And then he had the best robe ready. And then he had the fatted calf killed. And then the shoes on his feet. Then the ring on his finger. You see, dear friend, that was the time for comfort. And we cannot apply the comfort. I cannot apply them anyway. That's the work of the Spirit. We cannot preach comfort to those who never felt their woe. Remember that. We cannot preach comfort to those who never feel their woe. But it is to those who feel their woe this Sabbath morning. Those who are burdened over the wretchedness of their heart. The depravity of their old nature. Who are burdened over the severe, powerful temptations of the evil one. You find it a struggle even to pray, far less to praise. Perhaps I've come into the house of God this Sabbath morning. Did I even dare come? To such the gospel is to be preached. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And that, dear friends, is the sign of a healthy church and congregation when the seats are filled with those who've begun to be in want. Isaiah, you are commanded, you are commissioned to preach comfort to those who've begun to be in want, those who need feelingly a Saviour, those who cannot do without the precious blood of atonement, those who long for the robe of righteousness to be theirs, those who long to hear the dear Saviour say, I love thee well, my child. Tell me, Lord, make me feel it, I am thine, forever thine. Take this wounded heart and seal it, heal it, seal it with thy blood divine. I wonder how many wounded hearts there are here this morning. How many wounded hearts? The Lord knows, but a wounded heart, comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. This was then his commission. And for the latter part of Isaiah, from chapter 40 onwards, for the most part, it is comfort. Some exceeding great and precious promises. Some wonderful fear nots. Fear thou not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Fear thou not, I am with thee. And so on we could go. Many other precious promises. What a mercy God does not retain his anger forever. But he does have compassion. And that really was the second thing that Isaiah was exhorted to proclaim. Not just did he receive this commission to comfort, but all to proclaim the compassion of God. His compassions fail not. Now, men's compassions fail very quickly. I often said to my people, if a beggar knocked on my door and asked for help, the first time I might give it fairly willingly. If he came the next day, well, I might perhaps a little more reluctantly, but none, perhaps help him. But friends, if he came day after day, I think my compassions would fail. Probably yours would as well. But yet, should they? Should they? Blessed be God. The compassions of my God do not fail when the beggars keep knocking. Perhaps you feel this morning so poor, so wretched, so unworthy, you feel it's hardly right for you to knock. Friend, if you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. Not the righteous, sinners Jesus came to call. If your only qualification this Sabbath morning is a solemn, awesome sense of guilt, you're welcome to knock. You're welcome to ask, and you're welcome to seek. Bless God for such a gospel as that, a compassionate God. You say, can you give me a proof? Yes, I can. See the wounded hands of the dear Saviour. Isn't that sufficient proof? See from his head, his heart, hands, his side, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Friend, if you want to know where compassion reigns, you ask the blessed Spirit to take you to Calvary. And there beneath the droppings of the blood of the dear Redeemer, may you feel his compassions fail not even to a poor wretch like you feel to be this morning. Oh, Isaiah, comfort these poor wretches. Tell them there's such a Saviour who has such compassion. He can reach the vilest of the vile. The most far-off sinner here in Swavesey Chapel this Sabbath morning. The one who's absolutely bedrock, down to nothing. For such, the gospel is to be proclaimed. Compassion. Bless God for the compassion of the Father in sending the Son. The Son in so willingly coming. Yes, and the dear Spirit who opens the eyes of the blind, and stops the ear of the deaf, breaks up the heart of the hard-hearted, for those for whom Jesus Christ came to suffer, bleed and die. Oh, the compassions of a triune God. No wonder we end our services after our worship. And friend, that benediction's full of compassion. It's not a time for gathering your handbag and books together. It's a most solemn moment. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. Could you ask for more than that? Dare you have less than that? And my dear friend, have you ever experienced the blessing of it? So we have a divine commission given to the servant of God, Isaiah. And one of the things he was to proclaim was compassion. But then he received a further command. He was to cry. That means he was to raise his voice, not in a carnal way, but he was, with God's help, to be diligent in proclaiming, because there are many forces against the cry he would have. Unbelief in sinners' hearts, the temptations of the evil one, the allurement of this dying world, the distraction of the thorn in the flesh and the crook in the lot, all these things often fill our hearts and our minds, so much so we have no ear for the gospel. And it may be how you are this Sabbath morning. You've come in devil-dragged. Your poor mind is harassed with this, that, and the other. You wish you could concentrate. You wish you could be quiet, but it's the very last thing you can do. And so we need a cry that gets beyond that. Come with me to Galilee's lake and hear the waves roaring, the wind blowing, the boat rocking, the disciples crying out for fear, and see the dear Saviour rise up with majesty and with power and with authority. Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. Friend, that cry, it calmed the waves and the winds and the thoughts of his disciples. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Poor distracted soul, the winds and the waves in your poor heart this Sabbath morning are under his control. He's only to say peace, and it shall be done. And you'll see who is the master, not the devil, not your unbelieving heart, not the world, not all those perplexing thoughts. Blessed be God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is King of kings and Lord of lords. May he come into your poor heart this Sabbath morning with that peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isaiah was to cry then, and God would give power to that cry that would overcome. And it did, under God's power, the hindrances that Satan, in one way or another, puts in the way. Oh, bless God for those moments when the cry goes beyond what we expect. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Well, what was he to cry? Oh, blessed tidings. Something done, something accomplished, something the poor sinner needs to do nothing for. Not that I'm preaching fatalism, don't get me wrong, and don't mistake me in any way. But friends, for the poor distracted soul I've been speaking of this morning, who's come to the end of his faith and hope and love and repentance and prayers and praises, he needs something done for him. Done for him. Remember a dear member of mine, he was a minister as well, and he told me in his early days, he went to a place where it was all do. He said, I wish I could do. He said, but what I want is done. And strangely enough, dear friends, when what is done is fastened in your heart by the blessed Spirit, then your faith does become active in the ways of God. But it's the finished work first. It's the fruit of that finished work that brings a gracious activity in the heart. But a legal gospel puts it the wrong way round. That's not God's way. That's not God's way. So what do we hear? Something done. Listen. Her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. something complete, something actually decreed and accomplished. Two things, it seems, were wonderfully done here. On the one hand, of course, it was a word to national Israel to take down into captivity with them. And there was a promise the Lord would turn their captivity in due season. There was no doubt about it. When the 70 years were done, they would return, and they did. But that is something that took place thousands of years ago. We are in the present. And my dear friends, God's dear people, the spiritual Israel need their warfare accomplished, their iniquity pardoned, something done. How is it accomplished? Who pardons? Come with me to the Mount Tabor, and those three favoured disciples, Peter, James and John, and see the dear Saviour transfigured before them, his holy body beaming forth with beams of divine light, such they'd never seen before. And two mysterious persons speaking with them, Moses, the giver of the law, Elijah, one of the chief of the prophets. And what were they speaking about? Nothing commonplace, dear friends. It wasn't about the weather or anything of that nature. They were speaking about the decease, that's the death, that the Lord Jesus Christ would accomplish at Jerusalem. Would accomplish. To all human eyes, the events of Gethsemane, the judgment hall, and Calvary seemed anything but an accomplishment. And the devil thought he had accomplished a great deal when our Lord hung there. But dear friend, little did he realize, until that dying cry, then he knew. Hell shook at its foundations when our Lord cried, "It is finished." Heaven rejoiced, justice was satisfied, the iniquity of God's church forever cast behind the back of a holy, sovereign, heart-searching, sin-hating God. Something done, accomplished. It reminds me of in the American Senate when the bill was at last passed that abolished slavery. Of course, there were no means of communication like we have today. The only way of telling the poor slaves down in the deep south that they were free was to send messengers on horseback with a decree from the president to say they were no longer to be slaves to the white man. And what a blessed release that was from them. What shame on the white man to treat their fellow brethren, black men, so disgracefully. Leave that to one side. But for a period, dear friends, they were still in captivity, not realizing that the decree had been passed on their behalf. Probably some weeks, even months passed before the tidings at last reached them. And so it is with God's dear captive people. Oh, while they are still groaning under their bonds and still weeping over their sins and mourning over their lost condition. Dear friends, the gospel is on its way. What did you sing just now in that last verse of that blessed hymn? Sweet hymn, wasn't it, to sing before a sermon? What did you sing? Blessed soul that can say, "Christ only I seek. Wait for him alway, be constant though weak. The Lord whom thou seekest will not tarry long. And to him the weakest is dear as the strong." The gospel is on its way, poor sinner. May even perhaps by God's mercy be today. It'll reach the soul of that poor captive one. The Lord heard the groans. He's seen the tears. He knows the desires. He knows you long for deliverance. And you long to hear him say, "Son, thy sins which are many are all forgiven thee. Daughter, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole." He knows all about your case. And the gospel is on its way in God's sovereign moment and God's sovereign time, to meet just such a case as yours. It won't fail. It cannot fail. Again, you sung, his spirit will cherish the life he first gave. You never shall perish while Jesus can save. So there was this accomplishment, blessed completeness, complete work. As one good man put it, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I hang my whole eternity. Friends, that where you hang in your eternity, you sung, didn't you, about the dreadful day of judgment, when thou, my righteous judge, shall come. How will you face that judge? Face him you must. You say, well, I've been a chapel goer all my life. I've read my Bible well, I've sung the hymns, I've listened to the sermons, and yes, I like some ministers better than others. Isn't that enough? It's not even the beginning of enough, poor sinner. Such a profession before the great throne of God's judgment would be treated with utter contempt, justly so. You say, but I'm different to others. They don't go to chapel. They don't keep the Lord's Day. Well, bless God, in one sense, if you are different in one sense, but friend, even that difference is not enough. What does your outward profession hide within? Is there a new nature there? Is there a new heart? Is there a new spirit? Are there some real prayers coming up from a renewed heart? Is there a real hunger and thirst after righteousness? When you come to the house of God, do you come not to be seen, but to see a precious Christ? Examine your heart this Sabbath morning, dear friend, what your profession would be. And if Christ should return this day, and he'll come, dear friends, when he does come unexpectedly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, will he appear? What will be my answer to it? Oh, dear friend, there's only one place. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, that solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Beware, dear friends, of all other ground. Only one safe place for a guilty sinner like you. The blood and the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The faithfulness of God to the finished work of his dear Son. The only safe place for a sinner. Do remember that. This is what he was to proclaim. This complete work. A work done for poor sinners. And the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood, to plead. But here one of you say, yes, I believe everything you're saying, I know it to be true. But what about these other things I've got in my life? That thorn in the flesh, that crook in the lot. Is there anything to say about that this Sabbath morning? Yes, there is. If the Holy Ghost, by his blessed teaching, brings to the foot of the cross, there won't be a murmur concerning your path at all. Not a dog will bark, and even Satan himself will have to be quiet. And you will be where the Apostle Paul was, I have learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul, do you like a prison cell? No, I don't. Do you like a hard stone, cold floor? No, I don't. But if Christ is there, I can live with it, because I believe I've got a better portion awaiting me, a better country soon to be in, a better prospect than the most wealthy person on the face of this earth awaits me, says Paul. Oh, then let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be troubled, poor tried one, this Sabbath morning. Your providences may be difficult. They may be excruciatingly difficult. But the God who sent his dear Son does not forget what providence you're in. He knows your need, and he who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for all his dear people, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is, all that we feel to need. All that we need in providence this Sabbath morning. If he sees you need it, dear friends, you'll have it. You'll have it. Because Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. What I'm saying, though, is a sight of a precious Christ suffering in your room, place, and stead will make amends for everything. You wouldn't want to change place to anybody on the face of this earth then. It's like that godly Scots woman who was so poor, all she had for her lunch was a cup of cold water and a crust of bread. And a minister was passing by and he heard her give thanks. And he heard her say this, all this and Christ. And that's true happiness. All this and Christ. But all this without Christ is a curse. Just lay that to heart, dear friends. Your bank balance, your family, your friend, your business without Christ. What is it? It's a millstone round your neck. Oh, may you seek first the things, kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these other things may be added as God sees fit, that you need. Come back to my text, comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to the heart, Jerusalem. Cry unto her, her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. He's spoken of Isaiah's commission, the compassion of God that was commanded. And now we come, dear friends, to the most wonderful communication. She hath received freely, undeservedly, unmeritingly, unearningly, of the Lord's hand, double for all her sin. That wonderful word, all. Not just some, not just most, all. And friends, those of us who have professedly been in the way of faith for many years, that little word all grows every day. It doesn't get smaller. All her sin. Thoughts, words, deeds, sins of omission, sins of commission, sins of your baby days, youth, teenage years, adult years, sins since you were called by grace, sins since you sat around the Lord's table. Oh, dear friend, what a multitude of sins. And yet, he is pardoned too for sin that's past. It matters not how black they're cast. And oh, my soul, with wonder view for sins to come, he is pardoned too. That's double, isn't it? Retrospect, prospect. We look back, some of us, on our retrospect, and we are filled with shame. Our lives seem one long litany of failure, folly, sin, guilt, mingled with everything. Prospect. Can we promise you any better? Can we say, Lord, we'll do better from this day on? We can't promise any better. But double. His pardon too for sin that's past. It matters not how black they're cast, and oh, my soul, with wonder view. For sins to come, he is pardoned too. That's the double. Put it another way. Two great essential blessings are joined together by God, and no man or devil can separate them. Justification, sanctification. Justification is the child of God's title for heaven. Sanctification is his meekness. Our title is in Christ, in his precious obedience and blood, in his finished work. On that we hang. That's where our hope is. That's where our anchor is, if we are true believers. But then there is a preparation for heaven. And that's just as essential, dear friends, as that title for heaven. And that's why we need sanctification as well. What is sanctification? Well, it's so many things, isn't it? One thing, dear friends, is if you're a true seeker this Sabbath morning, you not only want your sins pardoned, you want them subdued. You know, Augustine of Hippo, that former church father, said he was very easy to pray against sins he wasn't tempted to. But that bosom sin that wrapped itself around his affections, to pray against that was more than nature could do. But that's what we're commanded to do. Crucify this self, that I no more but in Christ may live. Christ may live in me. Only God can do it, you know. No vows of yours or mine can change that solemn tendency of the heart to sin. It needs a work of sovereign grace or sin abounding, sanctification. But what I tell you this Sabbath morning is this, The power of that sanctifying grace is such that the most virulent sin and the most powerful temptation, if he applies sanctifying grace, can be subdued. If I didn't believe that, dear friends, I'd have no hope for heaven, and nor would you or anybody else. Oh, we need sanctification. We need our poor heart broken up and made contrite. We need holy desires. We need humility. We need patience. We need endurance. We need Christ. That's what we need. Yes. So the two go together. And there's a work of grace being performed in the heart of every true child of God here this Sabbath morning. And when that work of grace is done, then God will call that sinner, that saved sinner, home. Thou shalt see my glory soon. I wonder how soon. I wonder how soon. When the work of grace is done, partner of my throne shall be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? But just remember Psalm 84. Do you know Psalm 84? This verse. The Lord will give grace and glory. You join the two together. You have no right, and nor have I any right, to expect glory without grace, whatever your denominational name or reputation among other believers may be. Without grace, there cannot be glory to follow. But friends, if God has given you the least atom of saving grace in your heart, one day he'll crown it with glory. His Spirit will cherish the life he first gave. Come back to it. You never shall perish, since Jesus can save. This is comfort, isn't it? Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, my chosen people, my purchased people, my quickened people, my dear sheep, the members of my mystical body, says the dear Saviour. Comfort them. Point them to Christ. Point them to the cross. Point them to the empty tomb. Point them to the filled throne. Point them to the precious promises that he's left behind for his dear church to feed upon till their life be done. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfort to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that warfare is accomplished. The matter's done, poor trembling sinner, this Sabbath morning. And your iniquity's pardoned, he says to this one who he's teaching. You receive the Lord's hand, that wounded hand. Double for all her sins. How slow we are to believe it, though, are we not? I heard one good man in Scotland many years ago, Fraser MacDonald, who's now in glory, I believe. As you know, dear friend, he said, God's people are so perhaps ready to believe the solemn warnings and commands, but how hard they find it to believe the precious positive side of the gospel. It's true, isn't it? We want to be right, don't we? We want to be real. We want to be ready. We want nothing superficial, nothing counterfeit. And that's why God's true taught people are cautious in this matter. But sometimes are we too cautious? I say that kindly. What did the Lord say to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, who were so comfortless? Oh, fools. Strong word, wasn't it? Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Yes, the prophets have spoken of warning and judgment and curse to the sinner unrepentant. Rightly so. But is that all the prophets have said? Fear not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee. I'll help thee. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The prophet has said that as well. Then may the Holy Ghost, who convinces, heal the wound. May he who's emptied you fill you. May he who's made you poor make you rich. May he who's made you feel like a beggar on the dunghill set you this day among the princes of his dear people. And say to your very heart and soul this Sabbath morning, I love thee well, my child. And friend, if he says that, he'll never unsay it. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £595, for which we are very thankful. And just a reminder that this evening's service commences at 6 o'clock. And Mr. Buss is also expected to preach our Thanksgiving services on Saturday at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, God willing. And the collections will be for the Oakington Building Fund. And Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day. And there's also a little notice to draw your attention to the Bethesda meeting at Swavesey Primary School on November the 16th. We hope as many as possible will come to it. There's a notice on the board. Let us commence with conclude with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? 329.
Thank you.
to cover with a mantle of thy forgiving love, O Lord, all that thou hast seen amiss in our worship this Lord's Day morning. Be with us throughout the hours of this day, gathering us again around thy holy word in the evening hour, and blessing the Sabbath school in the afternoon. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the Holy Spirit's favour, rest and abide with us each, both now and evermore. Amen.